Welcome back to the Street Fighter 2 for Game Boy podcast. I am your host, Frank Clement, once again broadcasting from my car. And I just want to say thank you to all the people that have been listening to the podcast and that has been supporting it. I truly do thank you for your appreciation. I thank you for tuning into the podcast and just hearing some guy that is just obsessed with a black and white Game Boy game, not named Pokemon, ramble and wax poetic about it. So I truly do thank you, and I'm really appreciative for every single like, every single comment, every single applause through the app that I'm using on, which is the Anchor app. So just to jump right in, this probably will be a short podcast, depending, because it's more of an existential question about contentment in video games. Now, I've mentioned in previous times that I'm going through some life changes with being married and working a full-time job and not being able to have time to play video games, and now having a baby on the way as of this recording. My wife Ashley is 6 months pregnant, so it's just like a couple more months and then I'm going to be a father. So it's a big thing for me, and hence where when I was younger I used to play video games and I used to give all my attention to that. I can't really give my attention to that anymore because of everything that's going on in my life and having to be put in that situation where I accept it. And I'm so grateful for all that I'm blessed with, having a wife, having a child, trying to maintain a job, and just adulting. The teenage and the child me feel like, man, I don't want to adult. But the adult me says, hey, you got to adult. So what happens is that weird dichotomy where when you're young, you have a lot of time, but you don't really have the money. But when you're older, you have more of the money, but you really don't have none of the time at all. So I have a favorite YouTuber, out of respect, I won't say his name. He'll probably never listen to this, but just out of respect. But I love the guy. He's one of my favorite YouTubers. He has a lot of Let's Play video games for fighting games specifically, but also other games as well. But yet, every time I hear him, it's never about the fighting game. It's like, is in two segments with me. The first time when I see his videos, the first segment is like, hey, check out this fighting game. He doesn't really sound like this, but I'm just exaggerating. Hey, check out this fighting game. This fighting game has this, and that mechanics. You gotta go check it out. All right. And the second part is, well, check out this fighting game. This fighting game's good, but even though it has this, has A, B, and C, I still want D and E and F and maybe G, maybe H, I, J, or K. Forget it. Let's put the whole alphabet in it. All right. You know? So, to me, I was faced with a question, because if we look at a certain game series such as Street Fighter 2, not even the Game Boy, but just the iterations, just 2 alone have about 7 or 8 iterations in itself, which is just flat out ridiculous. There's 2, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the information with me because I'm actually in my car, but there's 2. There's the Rainbow Edition, there's Championship Edition, there's Super Street Fighter 2, there's Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, there's Street Fighter 2 Dash, there's Super Street Fighter 2 Dash. So you have about 7 or 8 iterations of one game. And then look at another game that I really like that I play online with Josh, the guy that you've listened to previously on my random talks with Frank and Josh, Ultra Street Fighter 4, which was Street Fighter 4, then it was Super Street Fighter 4, then it was Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. And the good part, what I can't understand, I understand it, I can relate to it, but I just can't understand just these iterations, because maybe something's not right for tournament play, or a character is too broken, and there needs to be balance and stability changes. And I also understand, I'm sorry, I also relate to, but I do not understand that even though you have 30, 40 different characters, every single character in the game has to mesh well with the other characters. There has to be a certain balance in play and also in place as well with the characters. So if there's no balance stability with the characters, you know, there could be either a top tier, well, there's always, in that case, a top tier character that will just rule over everyone. So I understand that. But I'm talking specifically about just the contentment. Just saying like, okay, this is my game. And to me, this is actually one of the most, if not the second most, because I have the most important podcast that I'm actually going to release tomorrow, which is on May 25th. That will be the most important podcast I've ever done. And I'll release it tomorrow or tonight around midnight for the appropriate reasons. But this is the reason why I created the podcast in the first place. Sometimes it gets tiring, like, as an older gamer. I'm in my 30s. I'm not, you know, too old, but I've grew up in the era of Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. I wasn't an original NES guy, but I grew to love it and appreciate it when my friend gifted me, when Josh gifted me a freaking NES Classic, and I'm like, wow, you got this for me, and I was so grateful, and I still play it. So it's something that is near and dear, and that's one of the best gifts I ever received, and I treasure it, and I play it. But I grew up in the Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo era. I grew up, obviously, with the Game Boy as being the main system, most specifically the Game Boy Pocket. And growing up, I've already explained my background and my story in previous episodes about my love for Street Fighter II and why I was captivated by the Pocket version for the Game Boy. And little known story was I was trying to learn code in order to create more characters or input the additional three characters, Dalsim, E-Honda, and Vega, that weren't able to be incorporated in the original game due to limitations with the memory. I was very tempted to do so, and once in a while I'll still get a little tinges to do so, but I just can't bring myself to it. Someone online, I don't know the person's name, but they actually created the sprites. Not the movesets, but just a standalone sprite of Dalsim, E. Honda, and Vega, as they would look if they were incorporated in the original game. However, even though Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy has only 9 characters, it's still a unique piece of history. At the time, it's the only standalone Street Fighter 2 game that was released for portable. You have Capcom Classics Collection for the PSP, which had a most of the copies of Street Fighter 2, except for Championship Edition. I should know because I actually own it still, my PlayStation Vita TV. And there's also, if you can kind of say, there's Ultra Street Fighter 2 for the Nintendo Switch, but there hasn't been a standalone made for a portable Street Fighter 2 fighting game for the Game Boy, and that was always something that I held near and dear, and I can say it proudly, and I still can say it, unless Capcom just releases a brand new Street Fighter 2 game for a portable system, but it's highly doubtful because of the anniversary collection for the Switch. But there hasn't been any port, basically. There's been arcade ports, but this is just unique, as there's only 9 characters. Yes, Dalsim, E. Honda, and Vega are omitted from there, the Game Boy version, because of limitations, but that's what makes the game unique. And that's actually what makes me content with it. Yeah, it could have other features in it, you know, such as additional characters, maybe the bonus stages, because that's actually one of the things that I did not reference in previous videos, that Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy does not have any bonus stages. It's just 9 characters played through and that's it. However, it had something that you really didn't see in the arcade versions or the console version through a survival mode. At the time, it was ahead of his game. Like, who would have dunk it? Now, survival mode is a staple in Street Fighter 4 and its various iterations in Street Fighter 5 and also the Alpha series, where it had survival mode, especially Alpha 3 at the survival mode where you get to face off against all of the characters. And it spread out to other iterations of Capcom fighting games, such as Capcom vs. SNK2, where you can pick one character and just go through the whole roster in the survival mode. So to me, that was why... make a long story short and not really explain everything and in detail or deeply, that's like I'm at a real crossroads personally, and I'm just opening up and be honest, is that it's not that I don't love video games, I still do. I watch gameplays of a lot of new games that are coming out, fighting games, role-playing games. If it looks interesting, it's probably in my YouTube queue, ready to go and play when I have a free time. But that's the point, you know. I don't really get a chance to have that much free time. I lucked out and I was able to play the original Golden Axe and Golden Axe 2 a couple of days ago. I've beaten Golden Axe a couple of times. I actually came close to beating Golden Axe 2 a couple of days ago. Almost the same gameplay as Golden Axe 1. I got up to the final boss and lost all my health right at the end, which did a 52 fake out on me because I thought like, oh, hey, here's the final boss. Oh, no, there's the final boss. There's the true final boss, and he decapitated my head. So I played that in Golden Axe 1 and 2 for the Sega Genesis, so there's really no decapitations. But, you know, just at a very important crossroads of my life. Not only just as a husband, a button father, you know, I'm going to be a dad soon. Not only as that, not only... and my spiritual walk as a Christian, I'm at a very important crossroads in my life. And it's hard for me, the young me, to say this, the teenage and the child me, because I'll always be a child at heart, but I just don't have time for video games like the way I would like to have it, or the way that would be feasible for my schedule. But it's not. It's not feasible at all, to be honest. I'm not getting emotional or anything. I'm just like really, I never really admitted to myself that I'm like, man, I just can't devote the time. And I think I knew it, but it never came down to it. And it's a big thing, you know, because video games, before I met my wife, before I had a job and had money, a little bit, I don't have that much, but I got a little bit. I'm very thankful, thank God. But it was just a very important part of my life that I can never, like, gloss over. I mean, we all have phases in life. And I think my phase was, I had a couple of them. Long hair phase, pretending I was a rapper phase. I usually gave a rapping, and I tried recording some music. I recorded maybe a song for my wife, and she liked it. I didn't really like the sound of it, but as long as she liked it, I loved it. But I'm just at a point in my life where I just don't have time for video games like I want to. And it wasn't just a phase. It was just my hobby. At the time, when I was younger and first discovering video games, it was like, okay, it's a hobby. But hobby became an obsession. An obsession became a passion. And a passion became a way of life. I would literally, for my weekends, prior to getting serious with my wife, my weekends would consist of watching college football on Saturday. No, watching Saturday morning cartoons. So from 6 a.m. to noon, or maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon, watching Saturday morning cartoons when it was still on local channels. From 12 to 6, watching college football games. If there was no college football games, then I would play Madden, or I would play fighting games, or I would just specifically practice fighting games. And then I would play whenever college football stops. I would play for the rest of the evening until I went to bed. Then I go to bed and I wake up Sunday morning. I would watch football from 10 a.m. from the pregame shows to midnight when if there was a tripleheader. If there wasn't a tripleheader, I would play some video games in between. And that was my weekends. And I would just go to my undergrad college and I would do my work study there, and that was it. That was life to me. So it's a very big thing to me, and I still love video games. Don't get me wrong. I know for a fact I'm not as obsessed about video games like I used to be. And I don't know if it's from age or from jadedness. I do know a big part of it has to do with microtransactions. These little freemium games, which I'm not a fan of. I'm definitely not a fan of the model of Madden Mobile. Oh my gosh, if Madden Mobile had a franchise mode where I had control of a team and I could just play it, heck, I would even play online. I'm not a fan of the online component of playing games, even though I only play online with Josh. That's probably the only person I play on. As we mentioned in our little talk that we had when we were talking back and forth about our online experiences, it's not even about, okay, being talked about or having someone like berate you, even though it happens a lot. It's just, I don't know. I think it's introvertedness. I really think that's the biggest thing, is just being an introvert. And I have friends that I'm grateful for, but I only have like a few true friends that I can count on one hand. So I'm like, okay, so I know who I know, and they know me, and they know who I am. If they don't, then I don't consider them truly a close friend, but just an acquaintance that, if need be, I'll be there for them. So yeah, I went on a different subject, and I kind of had like that pregnant pause, like I was in tears or something about, oh, I don't know, I don't got time for video games no more. No, I don't, but it's just like a big relief just saying that and just acknowledging that. And that's what brings me to Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy. That's what brings me to this podcast. Sorry, this is a Dragon Ball Z abridged reference. But that's what brings me to it, because I can easily pick it up, play for like maybe 5-10 minutes at the most, and just put it down. Have some information ready for the stream. I can play it on my phone, kind of illegally, but I can play it on my phone, and if I have like, okay, 5-10 minutes, or like now, I'm waiting for my wife in the car again, excuse me, while she's working, and she's about to come on, get off of work, and we're going to spend time with our good friends who are the future godparents of our child. So it's just my schedule, it just doesn't have room for video games, and I wouldn't be a good husband at all if I gave more time to video games than I do my wife or my responsibilities. That's great and all that I finally have a maxed out 100 overall coach in Madden 12, but what the heck's the point if we don't have an apartment, we're struggling, and I can't bring food on the table, you know? So yeah, it's good to pick. Like I said, I had a few spare moments, so I picked up Golden Axe 2 for the Sega Genesis, and I played it. I don't have the Sega Genesis console anymore, so I had the at-game Sega Genesis console, which, as mentioned in the other podcast, in an earlier one, just talking about how I think, like, okay, Sega kind of, like, backdoored itself in order to allow, hacking, because you can't really hack the system. It's basically a proprietary Sega Genesis system on a chip, so it doesn't really encourage hacking, as more encourages illegal ROM downloading, so you can download enough ROMs in order to bypass it, and it's okay because it's a licensed product. And Sega's more loose with its intellectual property than, say, a Nintendo. And I'm not trying to get back into that discussion again, but that's Sega's beeswax. It's what it chose to do, knowing that you can just get a SD card and you'll have all the Sega Genesis games in collection, but at least you have physical keypad and buttons. So that's something that Sega chose to have. So yeah, that's my spiel on that. But it's just also about contentment. I know I talk a lot like, oh man, I wish I could do this, or I wish I can do that. Wish, hope. To be honest, I really am content knowing that my availability is booked, because it feels like I'm working for a purpose and there's a reason. So, my pastor told me when I had counseling sessions with him, Pastor Fitzgerald, he said, you know, I'm a gamer, and even though I can't play them, I have to treat certain things and certain obstacles in my life as gaming. So, you know, and it's not just about the spectrum of video games, but it's also finding the challenge. I relish in finding the challenge of how do I fit certain things in a day, and how can I tackle my work if I have like a lot to do, and what do I tackle first, and what's on a higher priority. Also, how to balance the budget and balance finances to make sure that we have enough for a certain week. And the newest challenge I'm working on with my personal life is how do I budget not having a second income for about a good month and a half or two when the baby's born. So these are the things that really encourages me. And also making a chance to play Street Fighter and finding glitches. It's, you know, these are the things that excite me. And most importantly is the comfortability factor. So with being content with the game and with my life, because I can easily pick up and play. And I played online with Josh, not only in Street Fighter, we weren't limited to just that. He encouraged me to pick up a copy of King of Fighters 13. I played it years ago, but I didn't really have like a unction to play until I played it with Josh. And I took a little bit of time and practiced a little bit and looked at the strategy guide and looked at move lists and just practiced them a little bit, and our fights became epic. Same as with Tekken versus Street Fighter. I mean, Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Definitely wasn't a fan of that game at first, and I still don't like the model where the downloadable content is available on the disc, but you have to pay an extra $15. But c'est la vie. I was just like, hey, I'm still going to give it a chance and try it. And what I do, I practice it, and I still had that motivation because I had someone playing with me. So having purchased the extra downloadable content and the extra characters, and it, again, it really depends on time. Like, if I know I'm going to have a chance to play online with Josh more often, maybe if it's a week where I'm not working overtime, I'll be able to do that. So that's fine. So yeah, I understand clearly that I'm making a podcast specifically for one old school game, and that maybe the replayability isn't in getting the high score or unlocking achievements like newer games, or learning combos and or playing it at tournaments. I understand that, but I feel as though, not that video games are fun now than it was back then. Oh no, there's still fun to be had, and I understand that the generation growing up and these newer video games, they're not really marketed towards me. I'm not going to speak for my generation, I'm just speaking for myself, that they're not really marketed towards me, and I'm completely fine with that. I like seeing the wonders of younger kids going into a GameStop, and it kind of reminds me when I was young, when I had that first overall excitement and all, like, wow, these are new games, I want to play this, and that. But I look at it from a subjective view now, because I'm like, oh my gosh, these games cost a lot of money. And then I'm weighing in on finances, and I'm like, man, I can't. That's going to hurt my pockets. Getting a new game system. Before I found out that Ashley was pregnant, I was going to pick up a Nintendo Switch. I actually had some money in the savings. And at first, and Ashley can tell you, I was waffling the whole time. I'm like, should I do it? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I'm going back and forth. Then I just made up my mind. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the Nintendo Switch. Very gung-ho about it, too. And then maybe about less than a week later, Ash is like, hey, I'm pregnant. I'm like, well, there goes my Switch money. And there goes all the other money that I have in the history of my life. So I'm cool with that. And it's not that I'm selling, like, okay, he plays a game. I lucked out and got an at-game Sega Genesis Ultimate handheld for $5 plus 7. So it was like 12 total. Those things cost $50. I just lucked out again, because the charging mechanism's the same as my PlayStation 3 controller charger. So I lucked out with that. So I'm like, okay, you know, two for two. The sound quality is still garbage, but I purchased a SD card for for a dollar. I have to wait till it clears customs in China from eBay, but after that, it's 16 megabytes, and I just have to wait, because I can't find a memory card under 16 gigabytes in the stores anymore. It's just feasibly not possible. So I'm happy with that. Can I play it often? Probably not. Have I played Golden Axe with it? Like, less than a half an hour? Yeah. It's just these every adventures, especially the open world adventures, because I think that's where gaming's going to right now. Either open world adventures or battle royale. I believe that's the flavor of the month. Like Super Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild for open world adventures. And the battle royale games such as Fortnite, Radical Heights, that's a new game that's coming out, and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. But just don't have a chance right now to pick up a new game and learn the nuances. I don't. Been reading more, and I've been making the podcast, and I've actually have a lot of the content that I wanted to talk about for Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy in the podcast, even though the last couple of episodes I've been deviating, but it's for a purpose. I deviated towards my personal life. I knew I was going to do so. I wasn't expecting to get that close, but it was just a revelation that helped me as well and helped me understand, like, hey, you know, I'm 30, about to be 31 this year. My story may not be anyone else's story, and you may not even relate to it, and that's all right, you know, but it's still a story to be told. Maybe you won't relate to it, but there may be someone that does, or maybe you'll relate to it at a different time in your life. And if you do have free time where you're able to play video games and have fun with it, go hard at it. You do you. I'm not saying, oh, I don't want to play video games. I'm going through something personal where it's just like video games aren't my end-all be-all, and they haven't been for a very long time, and I'm understanding that. However, it was just a video game that I truly love because, and I still love because it's unique. Capcom would never make another iteration of Street Fighter 2 with just half the roster, crappy frame rate, and whatnot. Capcom would never do it again when it's finally on the plus side of losing a lot of money from Street Fighter 2 and Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite at the time of this podcast. So, I want to conclude by just asking a question to you. If you don't get anything from this podcast or me going through not really emotional, but just mental changes in my life, you know, what's contentment to you in the game? Are you a gamer that if you have one thing that you get for two or three or four, you know, if you see a complete roster or you see an incomplete roster, do you want more? Or are you satisfied with the game? Are you satisfied with what's there? And if not, I do encourage you to be satisfied. I mean, I'm not saying withhold your opinion, but you don't know because I think, honestly, we take these games for granted. We take the creation process for granted, and developers should get way more credit than what they should. I tried to create a Bible game for the Game Boy, even though there's the King James Bible. I tried to put the whole King James Bible on the Game Boy through a text game, and I was trying to lay out the directions, and I was using the I forgot the name of it, I'm sorry, but I was using a similar with a Game Boy development kit. I believe that's what it's called, the GBDK, the Game Boy development kit. I tried that, and it was just a lot of work because I didn't have the time, and to be honest, I didn't have the patience either, but I just didn't have the resources, the time, and the patience to be dedicated towards that game, and looking at the glitches that are available in each game, even the older games as well. You know, if you do have a favorite game, I'm not saying, oh, just, you know, wish more or just be content with it if it's a broken mess, but I just encourage you, like, with all the money that's going into these games, now these freemium games, they're going to have the same budgets as AAA games. In fact, one of the biggest game companies is not EA or Activision. It's called Tencent, which is a China developer which specializes in mobile gaming. They haven't made a console game. It's just all mobile gaming. So as things increase with money and production and paying artists for sounds, there's screen actor guilds for voice actors and video games, and every single video game is going to have motion capture and all this graphical and audio enhances as well. You know, let's appreciate the games of old as well. I'm not saying, oh, just forget the new games. There's plenty of great new games, and I just mentioned a couple, like Super Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. For the kids, there's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for the Switch and for the Wii U as well. For the adults, there's God of War, The Last of Us Collection that's coming out as well. But let's just take time just to acknowledge the older games, the retro games. Because I feel that we do a disservice by jumping to the next game. Or like my favorite, and he's still one of my favorite YouTubers around, and he's very popular. He has a very popular channel. I love the guy. But I feel like he does a disservice as well. Oh, well, I got this. I'm doing the crazy taxi voice, but I'm tired, so it's not going to mesh well or sound well at all. But I'm not apologizing. Oh, well, so now we got this game. So now we got another game. So I want this, then that. It's going to be a new game. Okay, I'm not doing the crazy taxi voice anymore. I'm tired. So let's be content. You know, let's stop asking for these additional features and let's just be content. If not, but I'm just saying, let's be content with what we have. We're so quick. Like even now, PlayStation 5 already released it. I'm sorry, PlayStation 5. Oy vey. That's what I'm saying. The PlayStation 5 is in talks of coming out, and there's still games for the PlayStation 4 because Sony's head of marketing said, oh, well, the PlayStation 4 is at the end of its life cycle. I'm like, geez, this is 5 years, and this is the first time there's been a console upgrade, not just an expansion or an addendum to a console, a full upgrade with the PlayStation 4 Pro, and now they're on PlayStation 5. I mean, I don't have a PlayStation 4 to latest console I have is a PlayStation Vita TV, but I just feel that we're advancing too fast, and you know, give it some time, let's enjoy the games that we have. Like, oh, okay, Nintendo Switch is game-breaking, it's groundbreaking, hey, but who would have dunk it, having a portable, dedicated gaming system that can double as a console, even though it doesn't really do anything full power, it doesn't do the console fully power because of graphical limitations, and it doesn't do the handheld because of limitations within its internal battery. However, it's still a great machine, you know, and Nintendo was hinted, I don't think they will right now because it wouldn't be fiscally responsible for the first for early adopters and the people that first bought it, an updated system, which, you know, maybe next year, update the memory, give it like maybe 1 terabyte or 2 terabytes worth of memory so you can download games and stuff. But to me, that's why I'm not, and I'll do a sidebar of it, but I just want to end just with being content. You know, I just want to end with the question. That's how I'm going to end the podcast. And I truly thank you for listening. But what is your contentness? I really want you to think about it too. And not no fake thinking about it. Not that I'll know anything, but I don't want you to fake it. Don't fake the funk. Be the funk. You are the funk. Not funky and smelling, but don't fake it, man. Don't fake it. What does contentment mean to you in video games? I asked you this question. What does it mean? Be blessed.